January the 27th, 2021, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Maraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkreadymirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 9, Ayat 1 to 5, the Merciful. Quran Surah 27, Ayat 30, Solomon wrote Sheba, Bismillah. The Quran Surah 6, Ayat 95, you will return to us there and alone. Isaiah 11, 6, a child shall lead them. So the ninth chapter, no, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Baby born 9 months can't speak but goes on its nature. So not only that the night of power, but for anything, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, and mean it, it has to come from your heart and soul. If it comes from your heart and soul, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting you. There's only one chapter that does not begin that way, and know it. It is the ninth chapter, and we are in the womb of our mother for an expected 9 months. And the ninth month, not the tenth month, once the delivery is right. And the baby is too young to say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. That baby is just going on its nature, the nature God gave, that God created it in, is supporting it. So now there are some old guys like me who are still babies, and our nature is supporting us, as we do not have it up here, not yet. And a lot of us die and never gets it up there. So we are the ones, as long as we have good intentions, we are in God's will and in his spirit, and we are part of his revelation. So it is not given in the beginning. That means no one spoke it outside of the content or outside of the text or the content. But when you get into the body of that surah, God found a way to give it to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So he is there, and it is not serving the purpose that the Bismillahirrahmanirrahim serves in the whole of the Quran. For Surah 113, so it is inside, right? So what is it saying? When God put it inside there, inscribed of that, instead of, pardon me, inside of that, one did not have it reach his conscience. It was outside of his nature. His own nature respected Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So Muslim Bismillah inscribed in our nature, yet not in our conscience. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not saying it with his mouth when he is innocent inside of his own nature. It's Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inscribed many things upon our nature, they are not in our conscience. They work in our nature. Everyone is a Muslim, but it is not in his conscience yet when he is born, but it is in his nature. It is beautiful. And by means in the name of the king or in the name of the people, what is he saying? He is saying whenever I am owing it to the fact that I am authorized by the people, or this is authorized by the king. So when we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that is exactly what we are saying. Whatever we are engaging or whatever we are getting into, here it is authorized by Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our God, who is the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Now, what is this saying is that your own nature knows its benefactor, and it is going to be redeemed. It knows its redeemer. I know the mercy of its Lord. It does not claim anything for itself. It just obeys the law and will of God. So it is already performing as though it is saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now I feel like doing the buck dance on top of the table. Qadir, Kal, Chu, Kud is from it. So now the Qadir. You know they say the Kal, Chu, the Kud. I believe they got that from Qadir, from al-Islam, from Quran. Cut for the cow, it has reference to a second stomach. The cow eats, and when it finishes eating, it will chew again what it is swallowed. And when it does that, it is chewing the cud. So I do believe that cud and kadira goes together, that the English people, when they brought that word into their language, they got it from al-Islam, from the Quran, the Qadir chewing the cud. Now, Laylatul Qadr, not Qadir. So this is the one like I'm associating with cud for the cow. Tahira runs man's afira. Jara. It goes on to describe what is coming down, what happened on that night, right? Better than 1,000 months means it's better than containing man's behavior under a cruel system. 1,000 months, one of the translators doing his commentary says, it means it's better than a lifetime. That because most people do not live of 1,000 months. It is like the life expectancy, longevity expectancy. Now, I do not have any problem with that. It is a good translation, an excellent translation, but I think when it says it is better than 1,000 months, it means it is better than the whole duration of your schemes to contain man's behavior under a cruel system. 3 months is a season. Culture used to control the masses. 1,000 means its full life has been lived. So 3 months is a season, and 4 times 3 is a whole year. Now, usually they work just upon a year. These cultures work to hold us for a year, to get us in the summer and put us in the winter, and then bring us to spring, and then back again to summer. That is how they rotate us to govern us and keep our behavior under them. So now this is just 12 months, but this is better than 1,000 months. In the Arabic language system, this is not ordinary language. This is esoteric language system. The language that has to be translated in order for you to understand and get the real meaning. And that 1,000 means when it is completed. It's when it completes itself. Once it completes itself, it is full life, has been lived. So after 1,000, it dies, not after 12 months. So in the Bible, it talks about a year with God is not the same as your years. Your years are short. Your years are 12 months. And when God is talking about a year, don't think that means 12 months. Your years is short. That is all that is saying. A year with God is much longer than a year with man. So first shall be last. The spiritual life was first. Now it is last. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayat 14, you inherit land to test your conduct. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayat 20, Allah made man from the dust. Matthew 20:16, the first shall be last, then first. So scripture says that it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And it also says the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What was first? The human being. Was a spiritual life first? Society tells us this is not just scripture. You study the history of developing societies in the history of mankind or the communities of people, and you will find that the first leaders were spiritual leaders. And in so-called primitive societies right now, their chief leader is a spiritual leader. They have not changed from that old baby order of society for mankind. They are still in the baby stage where their spiritual leaders is their chief over the president or whatever. He is their chief. He is the boss. And they live in the backwoods of South America or somewhere, or on the sands of some desert somewhere. Wherever they are in caves, tents, or whatever, they are under a demon or a spiritual leader, a witch doctor or something, because the spiritual life is the first life, and the leadership that formed for that life is the first leadership. It says the first shall be last. Now, look at the modern industrial world. Is the spiritual life first? No. What life is first? Commercial life. Right now, the first life is the commercial life. So what is going to take Bush out to keep him in the war in Iraq, you might say? How we vote on the performances and how he lets the war in Iraq affect our vote. Some of you will say that, and that is true, but what is it at base? And the interest to stay in Iraq. It is democracy, or it is oil, and control of the dollars. I'm not putting Bush down. Economic interest is very important, extremely important. I'm not saying that to criticize him. I'm saying that to keep the eyes open while I talk. As the brother said, talk. I like to speak, but he said talk. That's okay. I think I know where he's coming from. It's beautiful. He doesn't mean the talk that has to walk. He is talking about real talk. Allah made man from dust to be an industrialist. Allah made man for the dust. So the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The last for man was industry. He came as a spiritual life. And then he got engaged, turned on his brain to his environment, and understood that his life needed to mate with his physical environment to produce wealth, to produce the comfort his wife wanted, etc. So he engaged the physical environment, and in time he became an industrialist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's man, when he created him, he created him to be an industrialist. When God says that he made man from the dust, he means to tell you that you are made of material that needs development. And your destiny is to go from dust to industry. So dust stings, not adhering. So dust is not adhering. Dust is not staying together. The last little wind can blow the members apart and send them floating in the air. But if the dust will receive moisture and become germinated after moisture, or the germ, or it'll be germinated by moisture and feed on the sun and on the air and on the things that are in the ground and water, it can live again to support life. Plants, small, big, seeds, industry, develop and grow. So industry comes from the things the earth grows. This is how we get industry. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayah 7, throne was on the water, sea water. So this means sensitivity of the intellect and the soul. Water is a body that is very sensitive. The only time it loses that is when it is frozen. The sensitivity necessary to get life started. If people are insensitive, you can't begin to establish them in an order, directed life, governed or society. Most unestablished people are those who have grown insensitive, dry to the water of human feeling. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 7, throne was on the water. Dear beloved people, understand that Allah says that his throne was first established on the water. Isn't that what Allah says in this book, you who read it? That his throne was first established on the water. What does that tell us? That those who move from principles of pure faith, pure spiritual faith, to a principle of social order and development, feel your salvation is faith. It was established on the water, and water is still needed on the land. For a land without water is called what? In the Quran, a dead land. Is that not right? It is a dead land, and we know that for a fact. Yes. So the Quran, Surah 11, Ayah 7, Allah's throne on the water. Matthew 19, follow me, I will make you fishermen of men. John 21:6, cast net on the right side. John 20:15, Jesus gardener after resurrection. So we know in the Quran, Allah's throne covers the whole of creation. His throne extends over the heavens and the earth and the skies and the earth. So the same Quran says that his throne was on the water. What is saying? What is water? Man's sensitivity. The sensitivity of the intellect and the soul. Sensitivity of the intellect and the soul. So it is expedient that I go away. That was proper in its time, in its place. But then it's necessarily to begin a learning process. Is that right? So we find Jesus calling the people first to what? After the water. Come, I'll make you fishermen of men. And even instructed them so they would be able to fish better. He said, cast your net to the right of the boat. Is that right? He gave them instructions at sea. And they say, when they threw their nets to the right, they brought in fish abundant. Is that right? So then he brought them, led to the land. And then he taught them in the land not to trust the learning of this world. Trust faith in God. Is that right? So John 20:15, Jesus gardener after resurrection. Then he said, it is expedient that I go away. And he went away. And it is said that they saw him again in the garden after his death. And he was working as a gardener, not a fisherman. What grows in the ground?
Did you bring the mosquitoes?
Pattern of growth.
Ain't nobody.
It shows sequence, stages of development. A seed, a sprout, a body, leaves, flowers.
What do I put it on?
Seed, fruit. Is that right? That's symbolic of a learning process. So Jesus gardened the vine garden underneath rivers. So Quran, Surah 98, Ayah 8, garden underneath rivers flow. So the second Christ, he sent a garden. Is that right? Yes. So Jesus is a sign. Muhammad is Muhammad, and he will give you gardens underneath which rivers flow to abide therein forever. You won't have to wait for the intercourse. You won't have to wait for the Holy Ghost to strike you. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayat 91, Jesus a sign. So you won't have to wait for rain to come down with thunder and lightning in the high heaven. There will be rivers flowing underneath. Whether the clouds come out or not, the garden is supplied. I was speaking to a group of scholars, to an order of secret science or secret scientists. One of them stood up and asked me to compare Prophet Muhammad and Jesus, Prophet Esau. I told him Jesus was a sign pointing to Prophet Muhammad, the real thing. Yes, destiny, rational grip, life, and environment. Well, after all, what is man's destiny? Man's destiny is rational grip of his life and his environment. That's man's destiny, rational grip of his life and his environment. So Jesus is an impulse. Jesus was an impulse to shoot the world in that direction, trusting the Lord who will force man in that direction. Muhammad, the teacher. Prophet Muhammad was the teacher bringing the rational message to educate the people. Yes, bring us in rational content, rational commands of our life and our environment. How wonderful that is. Can any of you Muslims now go on living a spiritual life, neglecting this life that must be consummated with the tools of intelligence? No. If you're a Muslim are for real, and if you have understood what we are teaching, you can't rest until you meet your destiny in this better sense, an intelligence to cultivate for the hereafter. Isn't that true? Yes, we are never satisfied until our tools of intelligence are working in this world to make it more useful, more productive, pleasing to Allah, and more beneficial to us. So life's the test. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayah 7, thrown was on the water to test. The Quran, Surah 67, Ayah 2, Allah created death and life to test. Allah Most High, he also said that his throne was established upon the water to test you as to who is best in conduct. And he also said that he counted or created the death and the life also to test you regarding amongst you who is best in conduct. So that tells us something here. It tells us very clearly that certain circumstances for human beings represents a test for human behavior. It challenges human behavior, certain environmental situations that you find yourself in. Those situations are going to challenge your ability to perform in a civilized, excellent way. And if you don't have help coming from somewhere, you will be in a world of trouble. Joseph's moral excellence was priceless. The Quran, chapter 12, Joseph's moral ascension. So we have this in all the three of the heavenly religions: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The story of Joseph, he was rejected by his brothers. They tried to put him away from them, and they did it. He ended up in Egypt. But the pharaohs, the Egyptian leader, discovered in Joseph something that was priceless, his moral excellence, and they gave him a high position over the storehouses. They turned him and they trusted him to be over them. Egypt at that time was the richest, most productive of all the nations. So everybody was coming to Egypt for help, especially for food. So one day Joseph's brothers came to Egypt for help, and they had forgotten about him. And he had to remind them that he was their brother. He did not turn them down. They had sold him into slavery, rejected him, lied to their father about the circumstances that had happened to him. They said that their father, here is his shirt. It has animal blood on it to make his father think he was killed or devoured by animals. But Joseph thinks he was killed or devoured, by animals. But Joseph didn't reject them or refuse to give them rations or supply their needs with food. He asked about his brother Benjamin, and he gave them food. So here is a nation with welcoming a moral person because of his moral excellence into government, into a high position. So when he was trusted to be over the storehouses, distribution of food, I think that has more meaning than just food. That is to tell us the most valuable achievement for the human person is moral excellence. So we know no matter how much education one has, and I am not knocking education because it permits you to do wonderful things, but without the moral nature, you may create hell for yourself and hell for others. You may end up bringing your life down. I've known people who have gone to school, achieved degrees, and just a little thing troubled them, and they fell down. They couldn't stand up anymore and became habitual drunks. They lost their respect for their own life. That can happen. But if your moral life is saved, then everything else will be saved. If your moral life is saved, your intellect is saved. You are saved from your own profession, for your works in this world. Ultimately, it is the moral factor that determines the fate of the individual, family, and the world. So if we have more of a quality moral life in our families, they would be in good condition, and we would not have so many families in this pitiful state that they are in now. And so it is for communities. If we would purify the spirit and seek more quality for our moral life as a race, as a people, as African Americans, our community would come into a new life. It would become productive. We think this great production that the United States has owing to our scientists and to our great industrialists, etc. No, it is owing to the excellence in this society that has opened up the mind of people and made them more respectful of the things that they should be given respect. And because of its higher appreciation of human life, the many things that benefit human life, we have this great production. It is because of loyalty, the higher principles, because of appreciation of human life in its excellence. These industrialists and others are working to serve American citizens with a better environment a better life. So when they don't care, they produce hell for themselves and for us. So those who care about human life give us environments that take burdens off of us and free us to have a virtual heaven almost on earth. I do believe we can have a heaven on earth if we agree in the life that is most important for us, and that is the spiritual life that God wants us to be one people, one accord in one spiritual life, a life of moral excellence. Of the prophet, God says, he sent him to us to purify us and to lead us out of the darkness into the light, the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of moral corruption into the light. But first we must purify ourselves. This is no spooky exercise. It just means intending to be good, intending to be truthful, intending to be a decent human being, and working at it, and realizing that life loss will cause you to lose everything eventually. So challenge brings out the potential in the soul. So the role of that spirituality is to have us appreciate the best moral standards of mankind. A people should be judged not by individuals, but by their collective performances. And as a people, we perform excellently. We have individuals that make trouble sometimes. Small groups make trouble, but as a national body, we perform very well. That condition, that spirituality in us, I believe is what has moved us to go against racism, against mistreatment of the little fellow, the minority, by the majority, until we have come to what we have now in this country, protection for minorities, minority rights, inclusion, and a new dignity that we'll all have in this country as human beings, in spite of the culture that is wavering, astray from that purity that we should have. That is the test. We won't progress if we don't have a test. We welcome challenge. The more the soul is challenged, the more the good potential in the soul is brought out. I believe this is a testing ground, the land of opportunity and the land of challenge. Myself, I wouldn't change a thing. It is good for us. I love a challenge. In fact, if the devil wants to come into my house, he can live with me. I have become tough enough to go to sleep while he is in my house. And believe me, he might be in your house tonight. So Joseph was put in position to give food for the mind. In scripture, food is food for the body and also food for the mind. Joseph was not only given food for the material body or flesh, but he was put in a position also to give food for the mind, that is to teach and expand the mind of the people, to assist the minds of the people so that they grow wiser, more intelligently, and become more productive. So the more important understanding that I think would be that the Egyptian put him in charge of the storehouses, meaning that he was in charge of assisting people with their mental needs. So man from the dispense fluid, it refers to the evolution of man in the beginning of his rise as a life form, was much like animals. He did not have human intelligence. He had a human body. But he had to grow into human intelligence. From an animal, he became a man, a human being. And some of us are animals right now. The evidence of that is still around. There are several references. You will evolve from a fluid dispense. This is the Quran. If something is dispensed, it is dispensable, at least in the opinion of the one who is dispensing it. There are other references to the inferior beginning of human life. We begin from inferiority and we grow to excellence, but we begin as inferior creatures. So this is science and this is religion both. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 2, and 31 and 10. We need physical things to express, deliver something that is abstract. So how we made the world above you and see how they are supporting with no visible support under them. So this land we stand upon is really floating through space. God stands us up in our physical body, spiritually on balls and sockets. So the world is knocking on our door asking for us to recognize our essential life form. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 2, sky rises without support. Now, Al-Islam wants to condition us for the work we have to do for our families and our neighborhood and our world. And how does it condition us? It tells us that the things that are invisible, the things that are not seen, they are stronger than the visible. What you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the sky. See how those bodies are held up there. And it seems as though there are not structures to support them. They are not supported by visible structures. There are planets up there, Jupiter, much bigger than the Earth, much heavier than the Earth. But we can go out there and get a telescope sometime, maybe. We can see it with our eyes if we know where to look for it, and it is up there in space, suspended in space. And it seems as though nothing is holding it up. Now, we know something is holding it up. When we learn science, astronomy, etc., we know what's holding it up. Science has identified what is holding it up. But for the human eye, we don't see anything holding it up. Imagine that. The earth that we are on right now, we could not know the size of it unless science had not discovered how to measure the size of the earth, how to know something about it. We wouldn't know how to measure it. We would think it was endless. You don't see any end to the earth. You keep going. You think it is endless. Look how amazing God's creation is. We can't really know it with our common senses, with our common mind. Look at space. These are the things God wants us to think about so that we will be conditioned to be successful in our life on earth. He wants us to have faith, so he created a world to signal to you things that tell you thoughts and excite your intellect, excite your mind, and make you want to ask questions. Why? How long? Where does it end? Where are we going? These are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and became thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of the creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful. So he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky and he said, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us that he feeds us not only from the earth, but he says he feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science, nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayah 3, pairs. So he has designed it to operate in the pattern of pairs. The pairs of two in the pattern of pairs. Wherever they are effects, there are causes for those effects. Whenever there are problems, there are solutions for those problems. God has not given us unbalance in life. God has not given us a truncated life or a limited life in any part of it. God has given us a whole and complete life. And whenever we find one thing operating in a disease way or in a problem way, we will also find the help for that thing. If we look close enough, there is help for us no matter what the problem is. There is always help for us. So I'm speaking now of the problem that we seem to have in a comfortable state of mind for ourselves. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 4, one water, different plant. God says in a parable in the Quran, see how from one water come up different from each other, inferior and superior to each other, some with inferior qualities and some with superior qualities, all watered by one and the same water. Dear people, we hate to recognize that all human beings are the same. Never have been, never will be. Each one of us are free to earn a reward from Allah. Some of us are not as interested in pleasing Allah as others. Some are more selfish. They grow into thorn and crabgrass. Others are more inclined to God. They are less selfish. They want to help others as well as themselves. They grow into something beautiful, attractive to all people. God says he's watered the earth with one water, and plants come up different from each other in quality and worth. So human aspiration. Again, dear people, let us look at human aspirations. Something that we want, but some of us are so selfish in our aspiration that we grow inhumanly instead of humanly. So God, he has to tell us what is our aspirations. That's what we have to realize, that God, he feeds us the life for the spirit as well as the life for the flesh. He feeds us, and we have to also understand that it's Almighty God who enlightens us. We don't enlighten ourselves. He enlightens us. Einstein didn't make himself the successful scientist he was. Pasteur or none of the rest made themselves successful scientists that they were. It was because of the blessings of God that they became the successful scientists that they were. They was given a brain. Their brain was a gift. Brain, interest, and divine. Of God, the Hadith, pardon me, of God, the health of us, it was a gift of God. The interest was a gift of God. They had to have an interest. If they got the brain and not interest, nothing happened. So you have to have interest. The drive was the gift of God. Interest and no drive and nothing happened. Yes. And then God comes and aids all of that and makes it accident happen to show the scientist something he couldn't find. Scientifically, how many great discoveries we have heard of and reports say, no, I wasn't after that. I was after something else. I ran up on this by accident. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayat 4, to earth, water, one yet many different plants. Look how the same earth that appears to be no different from the earth over there produces this thing in excellence, beautiful quality, and the same earth looks the same over there, can't produce it. And I look at a desert where the Arabs roam. You know, they used to be Bedouin, and they roam the desert. What is out there to inspire culture? But yet, the Quran, Surah 13, Ayah 4, different plants from the same one water. So the expressions and branches of the one soul. So this is responding to a question about the soul. After the person dies, the soul of that person. We talked about the soul as one soul. So we are one human soul, and all other souls are expressions and branches of the one soul. So the human soul, in fact, we are nothing but that same. If you can imagine this bottle of water, the water in this bottle being all the souls on earth in their original form, as God created it. That is the human form with human sensitivities. The original soul with a human sensitivity as God made it in the beginning. So if you can imagine this bottle of water, all of that, my soul is from this water. Your soul and every other human soul is from this water, just as this water is in this bottle. No change. But once we become conscious, then just like water feeds a corn seed, and the corn seed becomes a corn stalk, and the stalk bears ears of corn, right? So the same one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the same water comes down and waters the life, but some life comes up superior. Some life comes up inferior. So soul is the real life. Race, culture is merely its draft. So it is the same water, same soul. But when it comes into us and we become conscious, then that water takes on from and it becomes Waraf Uddin Muhammad. It becomes you, and then our life, the way we live, and in the environment we are in, that we are living, make us different. But all of us should keep the purity that we got out of the bottle, because what we are dressing up is the soul. The soul is the life. It is the real life. Our culture, our ethnicity, our racial characteristics, our racial spirit, all of that is nothing but expression, dressed up. We put on this original water. So if you dress up this original water without a respect for this original water, without a love and a respect for this original water, you are not keeping the content. A good human, you can't go far. So the nation who have left their humanity, and they are just Africans or Nigerians or Guyanians, or the African Americans over here. You are nothing but black people. Or you're African American, but you are not in touch with your human essence. In its purity, you will not go far. So the only life that can go far is the original human nature. America has built its whole society on the recognition of what I'm telling you right now. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed with certain inalienable rights. So they are talking about the soul, and it says that government cannot give you this, and the government can't take it away. So this is the wisdom of the founding fathers. And they perceive the human nature being the basis of life for human beings. And that is the life that they have to base the right available to citizens on. So the right available to citizens are based upon your right to that life. And that life that wants to pursue happiness, that's a life that wants to have dignity and respect in the world. So you lose that, you don't want much. the average black person, they don't want much. They want just what you give your dog. You give your dog food. You give your dog a place to live and a place to bark and carry on. Let it go out for walks, and you let your dog have sex sometimes. That is all they want. They want no more than what you give your dog. As Allah says in the Quran, they want no more than what cattle have. The life is just no more than the life of cattle. The Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 1, Quran sent to bring man out of darkness. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 203, Quran light. The Quran, Surah 57, 7 to 17, Majah Muhammad ascension. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 51 to 52, Prophet One Brotherhood. Bukhari, page 4, 429, Heaven, Seven Prophets. So we know what broke the dark ages, and God says that he has revealed the religion, revealed the Quran. For what purpose? To bring man all out of the darkness into the light, out of the darkness of bad morals, moral blindness, out of the darkness of rational blindness, out of the darkness of social ignorance into the light. So he is leader, and that's what you should be. Advancing now, that statement that Muhammad is the leader of the modern world. The world is nighttime. So we have to lift our minds and spirits up. So we have to lift our gaze up and look distant upon the road. Or distance up the road. So you want to really have an accident driving on a dangerous road? And life is a dangerous road if you don't know what you're doing. If you want to really have an accident at night, and this is the nighttime, the world is always night time. Only God's way is day. So you are driving on a small, dangerous road. And it's winding like a snake. Sometimes the son of you drive without light. And here comes a big, huge vehicle coming your way with bright light. And suddenly you're totally blind and you're off the road forever. You're gone. And then some of you, many of you, look right in front of your vehicle and your eyes are not going beyond the vehicle. You're headed for a terrible collision. You got to lift your gauge up and put your eyes with your lights into the road to the distance ahead of the moving vehicle. The Quran advances other religions. Now, also this brother emails, I'm talking to you because you say you are Muslim. You say you serve al-Islam. So I'm talking to you, and know this also, that whatever they are teaching in those private quarters, Christian theology, Christian interpretation of scripture, they even try to interpret Quran for Muslims now. Whatever they are doing, know this religion itself to be advanced by al-Islam. Their religion is to be advanced by the Quran and Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. They have only been able to advance because of God revealing the Quran and putting Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in the world as the leader. So whether they are Jews, Christians, or any other, Muhammad is their leader. There are many signs, but I don't need those. All I need is to know that what Islam is and look at the world. I know who the leader is, but there are signs too. So when God took Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, up into the heavens and showed him the leaders in the past of God's beginning with Adam himself, he greeted them all as his brothers. because prophets belong to the same fraternity. For want of a better word, the same order of messengers, prophets of God. So he ascended this order from Adam and Jesus, Christ, Joseph, Yusuf, Idris, Aaron and Moses, and Abraham. So Muhammad is the imam, leader of the other prophets. Prophethood progressed and evolved to Muhammad. So I don't think I missed any. And he greeted each of them as brother, except for Adam and Abraham. He greeted them father. So this is Judaism and in Christianity. So we know the first father is Adam and the second father is Abraham. After greeting them, what did he do? He led them in prayer. So who is their imam? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is their imam, their leader. What is that to tell us? That even prophethood is an evolving thing. Prophethood is a progressional thing itself. God was evolving and progressing prophethood and revelation so it becomes complete for all needs of mankind. And who was the last in that? Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So who should be the leader of the rest? Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. If God sent messengers one behind another to make contributions to advancing his way, to contribute to the advancement or towards the advancement of his way, then the last one to finish the job, he is the one that has it all. Those before only had part. Darkness, symbolic of ignorance. So the Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 1, we have revealed, bring from darkness to light. So the darkness is the darkness of ignorance. You don't need anybody to lead you out of the darkness of night. All animals know how to wake up when the day comes and go out and take advantage of the daytime. It's talking about the darkness of ignorance. When you don't know the answer, you can't see your way. When you don't know the solution, you can't see your way. You walk through the problem. You don't know how to do it. You can't see how to do it. And you say that, we use that expression. We are talking about knowledge, not this physical light and darkness. We're talking about the light and the darkness of knowledge. We say, I can't see that. I don't see it that way. So these are expressions of the language that witnesses. These expressions are witnesses that we already have the term light and darkness, or darkness and light, for knowledge, not just for physical environment. So the Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 15, Sikh world dominance is denied. So God says, for them that I say to you, God says in our holy book, he will never give the rule, that is the power over others, over nations, to anyone who seeks corruption or seek a dominant. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayat 24, or 27, pardon me, when I breathe into him, my spirit bowed to him. Genesis 2, 7, birth into man, he becomes a nostril living soul. World is a god. So the world is called a god. In the world, it fell under a deep sleep and began to have a desire. It felt lonely, and it needed or wanted something. So the book says in the Genesis that it is not good that the man should be alone. This means that it is not good that the early Christian community should be lonely and suffering like it was. What God is this speaking? This is not the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the creator of the church, Adam himself, and he was already dead divinely. So the birth of life was not as the Bible Genesis will make you think. The birth of divine origin was the birth of a grafted world order. It was the birth of something false and contrary contrary to divine, contrary to divine, pardon me. So the Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 12, Iblis, made of fire, made men of mud. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayah 27, Jinn made before from scorching wind. So the Holy Quran says that he's being of fire, or the jinn were made before. This is before the man was made to be the crown of the creation. The scientists of the world think that they have made themselves, but they are blind children using our tools. The jinn boasts that God made him before he made man. The jinn says that they were before Muhammad and that they will not submit to him. They say that they came up the hard way and they got their knowledge by their own efforts. They say that they are not men of the spirit of divine man. They say they are men of knowledge. They say they don't submit to religious teachings and that no religious leader will tell them what to do. Fire means knowledge of the world. So fire means a body of knowledge that is of the world. Man, like, looks at it and be near because it gives them warmth. They used to cook their food and to do things for themselves. They use it to light their world so they can see. We don't call electric bulbs fire, but they are fire too. If you don't believe it, go and put your hand on one of them, and you'll see it's hot. It is also fire. So the light of the world is also fire. So the scientists have built their body of knowledge. They say that their knowledge is the light of the world and had it before this Muhammad came on the scene. They ask, how are they going to submit to a religious man? They say that he preaches well and he might be sincere, but he doesn't have that much sense. We're scientists. God says that nevertheless, he knows something that you don't know. I know that you know not. Barakallahu ladeen. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I've been your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. I thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Mirage Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means that it please God. We thank you, our honorable listening audience. We pray to Allah that he will bless us with his light of understanding. Keep us safe. Keep us healthy. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. But before we go, I want to, tomorrow, our beloved brother Imam Musa Abui will be on at 7 p.m. No, not tomorrow. Friday, pardon me. On Friday. Tomorrow I will be here. On Friday, Imam Musa will be here. He's the grandson of the Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington. And he will be speaking to you from 7 to 8. So thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and grant us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.